Who are the real people we consider our sages? Who were they in life? What is the legacy they left us? Join Rabbi Danny Sackstein for the next hour as he explores the lives of our Torah giants, the spiritual geniuses who shaped the way we approach Judaism today. That's Focus on Our Sages right now on 101.9 Chai FM.
Good afternoon. Welcome to Soul to Soul. Always wonderful to be with you on a Wednesday afternoon. And today is an interesting day. Today is the 14th day of the month of Iyar, and that makes it what we call Pesach Sheni. Pesach Sheni is an interesting day in the Jewish calendar. Where it originates from is when the Jewish people had left Egypt. So a few of them did the mitzvah of taking the remains of Joseph with them, of Yosef, HaTzadik, that he requested that when the Jews would leave Egypt, that they would take, they would reinter him in the land of Israel. And so those involved with carrying the remains of Yosef were tameh, they were spiritually impure. And it means that they were not able to bring the Korban Pesach, the Pesach offering, when they came out of Egypt. Of course, that was one of the great highlights of the Exodus from Egypt, and it's a big part of the Jewish people, the Korban Pesach. Today, we don't have a Beis HaMikdash, we don't have a temple, we're not able to do that, which is a great disappointment, a great sadness for us. It's a very important part of the Jewish calendar is the Korban Pesach, Pesach offering. And there are many references to it at the Haggadah table when we have our Pesach Seder. So those individuals that were now not able to bring the Korban Pesach went to Moshe Rabbeinu and they said to him, we tameh, we've been fulfilling the mitzvah of taking the remains of Yosef, and we feel very upset that we've missed out on this mitzvah. And Moshe said, you patur, you are exempt from this mitzvah. Oise b'mitzvah, patur min ha-mitzvah. It's not your fault, and you're doing another mitzvah, and therefore you're exempt. And they said, no, we want to be a part of it. We don't want to be exempt. We want to still have the privilege of bringing a Korban Pesach. And can't you do something about that and give us that opportunity that we are very upset we missed out on the mitzvah and we want to still be able to do it? And so Moshe consults with Hashem, and Hashem is very happy with the fact that they feel like they were not able to do the mitzvah, even though they were perfectly legitimate, they did nothing wrong, and they were exempt from doing the mitzvah. And Hashem then said to Moshe, give these individuals the opportunity to fulfill the mitzvah on a month after Pesach, on the 14th of Iyar. So the Korban Pesach is brought on the 14th of Nisan, and a month later is the 14th of Iyar, 30 days later. And so Hashem said they would have the opportunity, those that miss out on the 14th of Nisan, can fulfill the mitzvah of the Korban Pesach on Pesach Sheni, the 14th of Iyar. And that's why today is a day that we don't say Tachanun. If you're in shul this morning, you'll notice Tachanun was not said, won't be said at Mincha either. And it's a day of celebration. It's a day that some people have a minhag to have matzah today as a commemoration of Pesach Sheni. So that is a beautiful lesson we learn from Pesach Sheni. It's a lesson of second chances. It's the lesson that we shouldn't give up, which we're going to talk about a little bit more later. That's really going to be our theme today. And it's a lesson that we should have a desire to do mitzvahs, a desire to serve Hashem. We should be driven and motivated and focused on the opportunity of the mitzvahs and be disappointed if we are not able to perform a mitzvah, to fulfill a mitzvah. Because a person who's connected with Hashem understands that the mitzvahs are a great privilege. The mitzvahs are that which connects us to Hashem, connects us to eternity, lifts us above the mundane living of the material world, and gives us an eternal connection, access to the eternal worlds, which otherwise we wouldn't have. And so the opportunity to do a mitzvah is something that we grab, is something that we're motivated by, is something that we are focused on and excited by. You know, very often in our lives, we're excited about all sorts of nonsense, ridiculous, irrelevant things, which are periphery. And we're not excited by those things which should be the core of our being, the center of our focus as our lives as human beings, which are mitzvahs, which are connection to Hashem, connection to Torah, connection to eternity. So that's a great lesson from Pesach Sheni, is that those that missed out, even though they had perfectly legitimate grounds to be exempt from the mitzvah, they still wanted to do the mitzvah, which pleased Hashem extensively, and Hashem then gave them the opportunity to do the mitzvah with Pesach Sheni. Okay, good. So that's the first thing I want to talk about. Second thing is that this time we really talk about Rabbi Akiva and his Talmidim, and we talk about this time from Pesach L'Atzeres, from Pesach to Shavuos. The Ramban says, the great and brilliant, the genius, the Ramban, who lived 1,000 years ago, one of the greatest of the Rishonim, he explains and he says that just as from Sukkot to Atzeres, it's a Yom Tov. So from the first 2 days of Yom Tov or Sukkot till Shmini Atzeres, the days in between a Chol HaMoed Sukkot, it's a Yom Tov. So too, the Ramban said, from Pesach to Atzeres, from Pesach to Shavuos, was also supposed to be a Yom Tov, a time of joy and of celebration within Klal Yisrael. Unfortunately, today it's not the case, because this time of Sfira, when we count the Omer, from Pesach until Shavuos, which we're in right now, today is the 29th day of the Omer. So this time has become a time of mourning, not a time of joy and celebration. Why is that? It was originally supposed to be a time of celebration, says the Ramban, because this is the time when the students of Rabbi Akiva died. The 24, the Gemara in Yevamos says that Yud Beis Zug Talmidei Rabbi Akiva, 12,000 pairs of Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva, which is 24,000 people, they died mipesach le'atzeres because of the strange illness, disease that was going around at the time called Askara. It was the pandemic of 2,000 years ago, and we had COVID, which attacked the lungs. They had Askara, which attacked the throat, and the victims of this disease died of, they couldn't breathe. They were asphyxiated, and it was a terrible time of great tragedy within Klal Yisrael. So that's why now we are in a time of mourning. You'll notice that observant Jews, they don't shave now, they don't cut their hair, so we're looking a little bit scruffy right now. And observant Jews also, we don't have any weddings at this time. You'll see there's no weddings at this month of Iyar. And also, we don't listen to music. So all of those things are mourning observances at this time during Sfira. And although it was originally intended to be a time of joy, because of the tragedy, the calamity of the students of Rabbi Akiva dying, so it's now become a time of mourning. So we're going to discuss a little bit about that time of mourning and very important lessons to learn from Sfira, from Lag BaOmer, and from Rabbi Akiva. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
So we're discussing this time that we are in the Jewish calendar, the time between Pesach and Shavuos, which is a time of mourning, a time of where we have observances, customs of mourning, not cutting hair and shaving, not listening to music, not having weddings, because we remember the death of the 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva, which was a terrible time in the Jewish people. The question is, why did they die such a brutal death, the students of Rabbi Akiva? It seems to be, the Gemara says, the reason is shelo nagu kavod ze leze, because they didn't show each other the correct respect and honor that they should have. They disrespected each other. So it seems to be that the consequence of that was very severe, isn't it? That they died of this terrible pandemic that took place 2,000 years ago. So let's try and understand why that is. You know, what's the depth behind that? And what are the lessons to be learned? And the primary lesson is that being a Talmid, a student of Rabbi Akiva, meant a certain, created a expectation and was a responsibility of that individual. In other words, to be a Talmid, a student of a great person, has with it a tremendous responsibility that the person carries. Rav Asher Weiss, who's one of the great rabbis of the Jewish world today, lives in Jerusalem. He's been to South Africa many times. And he speaks of his Rebbe. His Rebbe was the Klausenberger Rebbe, one of the most legendary figures in the Jewish world in the 20th century. He survived the Holocaust. His wife and 9 children were murdered by the Nazis. He made it to Eretz Israel, and he rebuilt his Hasidim, and was a very great and inspirational person. And this Klausenberger Rebbe said that one of his earliest childhood memories was sitting on the lap of his father. His father was also a great Hasidic Rebbe in Europe, and his father was crying. And he said, "Tati, why are you crying?" He said, "I'm crying because I'm looking at you." So he said, "Why should you be crying when you're looking at me? I'm just a little boy. You're a great Rebbe with many Hasidim." And he said, "Because you never saw the Divrei Chaim of sons." So the Klausenberger Rebbe's father's Rebbe was a Divrei Chaim, a very great holy man who's renowned in the Jewish world. And he said, "I saw the Divrei Chaim. And so when I go to Shemayim, when my life ends and I meet Hashem in the next world, Hashem is going to say to me, 'You saw the Divrei Chaim, and this is what you did with your life. And this is what you produced after having seen the Divrei Chaim.'" So he said, "You never saw the Divrei Chaim, so Hashem can't say that to you." So to be the student of a great person, having seen a great person, having seen people with a connection to God that are holy in the way they live, in the way they behave, in the way they live their lives, so that is a tremendous responsibility. And so that was the case with the Talmidim of Rabbi Akiva. There was more expected of them, because they lived in the presence of this great man, and they saw Rabbi Akiva. And when they got to Shemayim, all of them were asked, "Where were you when Rabbi Akiva said, 'Ve'ahavta l'recha kamocha, zeh klal gadol b'Torah,' 'Love your fellow as yourself,' as it says in Torah?" Rabbi Akiva taught in the Gemara in the Dorim in Yerushalmi. Rabbi Akiva said, "Zeh klal gadol b'Torah, this is a great principle upon which the Torah is based." And they will say to the students of Rabbi Akiva, "Where were you when Rabbi Akiva taught, 'Es Hashem Elokecha Tira,' that you must fear Hashem," it says in the Torah. Es, every S in the Torah is a riba. It comes to include something else. So Es Hashem Elokecha Tira, you should fear Hashem. What's that come to include? Amar Rabbi Akiva ba l'ribo talmidei chachamim. Rabbi Akiva said, that's coming to include talmidei chachamim. You should fear and have reverence for talmidei chachamim. And I'll say to students of Rabbi Akiva, "Where were you when Rabbi Akiva taught, 'Chaviv Adam shenivra b'tzelem,' a person is of great value because a person was created in the image of God?" And so the students of Rabbi Akiva are going to be held to that higher standard because they saw Rabbi Akiva. And we see that was the case with the Gemara says, "Olam haya shamem ad sheba Rabbi Akiva etzel Rabbi Seni shebedarim," that famous Gemara in Yevam Samach Beis. It says that the world was desolate until Rabbi Akiva came to the rabbis of the south. The Elohim, and who were they? They were Rabbi Yossi and Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Meir Bal Hanes and Rabbi Elozer ben Shamua and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Those were the 5. Vehem Midu Torah. Those were the 5 who would then carry the Torah to the next generation. So those 5 Talmidim, actually Rabbi Weiss has got a piece where he just shows how these 5 Tanaim, these 5 students of Rabbi Akiva, they all have tremendous teachings of their own with regards to our treatment of our fellow human being, with regards to V'Ahavta L'Rechaka Kamocha. So we see that those 5 really got it from Rabbi Akiva, and his emphasis on how we treat our fellow had a tremendous impression on them, and they carried that forward in their lives. And they themselves had inspiring teachings and important educational insights in these areas as well. whereas the other 24,000 didn't take that from Rabbi Akiva. So they were supposed to be ones who would be the next link in the chain of our tradition of Amasora, which of course is very important in the Jewish world. Rabbi Akiva was the one who received the Torah from his rabbis, from his teachers, and he then would be the one who would pass it on to his 24,000 students. But they didn't get it from him, and therefore they weren't the ones who would pass it on to the next generation, and they died a misya b'day shemayim. They died of this terrible pandemic that was from heaven, from Hashem, and it was those five that took it on. And what's very interesting to note is that it's a famous teaching of the Maharal, and it was also emphasized by the Chidush Harim, the great Gera Rebbe, the first Gera Rebbe Chidush Harim, and also by Rebbe Yisrael Salanta and his Talmidim, was that at this time of Sira, we learn the what's called the Memches Kinyanei Torah. There are 48 ways to acquire Torah. The Mishnah Pirkei Avos in the sixth chapter says that if a person wants to be a student of the Torah, wants to be an ambassador of the Torah, so they have to master these 48 traits, these 48 human characteristics. And so the Maharal said that we should learn each one of them on the days of Sfira, on the 49 days of counting the Omer. There's 48 of these ways, and the 49th one we do Chazor, we do revision of the other 48. And then we're ready to receive the Torah Shavuos on the 50th day. So what is the teaching, what is the Kinyan Torah on day 32? On day 30, the Kinyan Torah is Oev Es Abrios, love Hashem's creatures, that you should love your fellow human beings. So the Shulchan Aruch, the Ramah says in the Shulchan Aruch that Lag BaOmer, which is the 33rd day of the Omer, is a day of Ktsas Simcha. There's some celebration and rejoicing. So why? One of the reasons is because it's the day when the Talmidim stopped dying. There was no more dying after Lag BaOmer. And so the 32nd day, so if Maharal taught this, so certainly this is something that the students of Rabbi Akiva knew, they also were working on these 48 ways, each of the days of Sfira, and the one on the 32nd day was Oves Abrios. So then they worked on that day. So there were those that got it on that day, that's when the dying ended. They stopped dying because they had worked on this characteristic of love your fellow. So we see that that is the celebration on Lag BaOmer, is that if we live a life of respect of others and of loving our fellows, so then we are, that brought the end of the plague, the end of that pandemic, and the death of the students. And that's something we celebrate and rejoice over on Lag BaOmer. So it's a very important lesson that we should learn, all of us right now. That's a lesson that we emphasize at this time, is to work on treating our fellow human beings with love and with kindness and with respect. We all very fast to judge others. It's a natural human instinct that we look down on others, that we judge negatively and don't give the benefit of the doubt, that we talk Lashon Hara about others and we laugh and belittle and disrespect other people, certainly not in their presence and sometimes even in their presence. And all of this is not what Hashem wants of us. Hashem wants us to love our fellow. Hashem wants us to give others the benefit of the doubt. Have you done is called Adam the Kafsrus, and to not judge negatively but judge favorably, and to try and see others in a positive light. Even though, you know, maybe they've done something wrong to you, or they've hurt you, or you don't like them for whatever reason, but let it go and see past it and see the good in them and understand that everybody is Tzelem Elokim, everybody's created in the image of God. And we have to look at ourselves. Actually, it's a famous vort of the Baal Shem Tov, after the Rech Kamocha, love your fellow as yourself, says the Baal Shem Tov. The way you see yourself, you see that you yourself are, you know, if we all look inward and we see our own selves and how we are, so we have strengths and we have weaknesses and we have good parts to our personality and we have bad parts to our personality. And so likewise, we need to view others as well. But generally, a healthy person likes themselves. A healthy person, you know, gives themselves the benefit of the doubt and sees that, you know, all in all, I'm actually a good person. I'm trying hard to be a good person. And so we should see others in the same way. So they've got strengths and they've got weaknesses. And they're just a human being like me. And they're doing their best and they're trying. And even if you don't think they're a good person, but, you know, sorry for them that they're not in a good place. And let it go. Don't hold on to the resentment and the anger and the bitterness and the hatred. That's not how Hashem wants us to be. Hashem wants us to love our fellows. And I think it's an important thing that all Jews should be working on right now. So we see the power of loving our fellow, oeves habrios, when we do that, so the dying stop. So too, please God, if we can learn to work on this, each and every one of us, to do this work of loving our fellow and judging our fellow favorably and not speaking Lashon Hara and in a derogatory way against our fellows. So that'll be a great protection for the Jewish people. And right now we need protection, don't we, Klal Yisrael? We're in a very precarious situation. We have a very difficult situation in Gaza. We still have to go into Rafah and clear out the last four battalions of Hamas. And that has to be done for the safety and protection of the civilians of Israel. And we see how around the world has turned against the Jewish people. And the world has really terrible double standards, unbelievable hypocrisy. We see from the world, from so-called human rights organizations, from the United Nations, from the ICJ, from the South African government, the ridiculous claims against Israel and the Jewish people. How biased, how unfair, how inaccurate their view is, and how they push these lies and these blood libels against Israel, with that we're guilty of genocide, that we're guilty of famine, that we're guilty of targeting children. They're lies. They're absolute lies. That's definitely not the case. We see the civilian casualty numbers of the UN have halved quietly in the last few days. You know, there's no, that's not a headline, but they say, yeah, our numbers were inaccurate, and the Hamas health ministry, they bloated the numbers of civilian casualties and they've dropped a half. So we see the bias against the Jewish people, the hypocrisy in the world, the anti-Semitism around the world, which is far and wide. And so for our spiritual protection, which we desperately need, we should work hard on loving our fellow, on treating our fellow in a positive way, in an honorable and respectful way, and judging others favorably. So that's the first lesson we learn at this time. The second lesson that I want to emphasize at this time, just before Lag BaOmer, is that, so as we mentioned, this is a time of mourning because of these 24,000 students of Rabbi Akiva. Lag BaOmer is when the dying stopped. Lag BaOmer also is actually a day of Yotzat. Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the Omer, which is this Saturday night and Sunday. So it's on the 24th and 25th of May, Saturday night 24th and Sunday 25th of May, is also the Yotzat of Yehoshua bin Nun, the great student of Moshe Rabbeinu, Joshua, Yehoshua. It's also the Yotzat of Rabbi Shimon bar Yochai, the great Rashbi, the Talmud of Rabbi Akiva, the author of the Zohar, which is the classic work of Jewish mysticism. And it's also the Yotzat of the Ramor of Moshe Isserles, who was the great Ashkenazi Poisek, one of the greatest Jews that lived in the last 500 years, the Ramor. So Lag BaOmer is the Yotzat of those individuals, and obviously the day when the dying stopped of Rabbi Akiva's students. And there's a very important message that we should also take with us that Lag BaOmer teaches us. And that is that we see that Rabbi Akiva had an amazing ability to carry on. So as we mentioned, his students are now dying. So Rabbi Akiva, let's just picture it in our mind's eye. Rabbi Akiva is the Gadol HaDor. He's the greatest rabbi of the generation. And Rabbi Akiva has built his academy of teaching, his yeshiva, for many, many years, for decades. And he's now accumulated 24,000 students. There were even more than that, because as they stopped dying, it means that there were more as well. And unfortunately, he was not successful in passing the tradition intact down to that next generation of students, because they didn't get it, because they disrespected each other, because they didn't behave in a way that was befitting of students of Rabbi Akiva, who would be the ambassadors of Torah, who would be the links in the chain, who would teach Torah to the next generation. And they died. Can one imagine the unbelievable trauma for Rabbi Akiva, the disappointment, the sadness, the pain and the shock and the feelings of failure, the calamity that has happened in Rabbi Akiva's life? What does Rabbi Akiva do? Most of us would just throw in the towel, I'm speaking for myself, and just enter into a depression that we would never leave after such a terrible failure and such a severe trauma and calamity. Rabbi Akiva carries on. Rabbi Akiva finds another five Talmidim. The world was desolate, which means there was no Torah, until Rabbi Akiva finds these five Talmidim, and he takes them on to be the ones that would pass Torah on to the next generation. Rabbi Akiva keeps going. Rabbi Akiva has an unbelievable quality of resilience. Rabbi Akiva doesn't turn into himself inwardly and collapse on himself and enter into a depression that he can't get out of. On the contrary, Rabbi Akiva remains positive and he keeps moving forward. What an incredible quality and an incredible life lesson. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
Talking about Lag BaOmer, so it's nice to publicize the communal Lag BaOmer event in Johannesburg. And Lag BaOmer is one of the focuses of Lag BaOmer. The first one, of course, is, as we mentioned, is to work on our love and respect for our fellow. And secondly, is to emphasize this wonderful quality of Rabbi Akiva, of resilience, of carrying on, of not getting heartbroken and depressed and despondent, but rather picking ourselves up from the disappointments and moving forward. There's a very famous Avoster Rabbi Natan that tells us that Rabbi Akiva, this was really a great strength Rabbi Akiva had throughout his life. So not only after his students died and he showed us how to do this, but even earlier on in his life, Rabbi Akiva was 40 years old and he was a shepherd and he was walking through the wilderness and he came to a magnificent waterfall. And he saw how at the bottom of the waterfall, a little bit like Blader River Canyon, so the water had created deep impressions in the rocks below. And he thought to himself, Rabbi Akiva, and he said, if the water which is soft can make such an impression on the rocks that are hard, how much more so will the Torah make an impression on my heart which is soft? He said, certainly then the Torah also can influence me and have a lasting impact on my heart and on my being and on my life. And he decided then, at that moment, after having seen that waterfall and those rocks, that he would go and learn Torah. He was 40 years old. He didn't even know Aleph Beis. How's that? He was a complete ignoramus. He was illiterate at 40 years old. And his attitude was, I can do this. I'm going to go on. I'm going to try. I'm going to be positive and make an effort. And who knows what will be. So we see that he had the great strength to do that throughout his life, early on in his life. And of course, later on, when his students died, after he had now become not only a great Torah scholar and Talmud Chacham, but the greatest in his generation. And he had built this tremendous educational institution, his yeshiva, over 24,000 students, and now they've all died, and it all collapses around him. It all just completely implodes. And instead of entering into a dark place and not re-emerging to face the world, Rabbi Akiva has the attitude and the resilience to get up. He's been knocked down to the ground in the most brutal way, but he gets up and he goes on. And that is a quality that we all need to learn from and we need to work on in our lives, because that is life, isn't it? Life is not a bed of roses. Life is not like we see on the silver screen in Hollywood on our screens, you know, that everything is smooth sailing and it's all romantic and it's all perfect. And if we don't have this perfect existence, so then there's something wrong with our lives. That's not reality. That's fantasy. Reality is every aspect of our lives is a grind, is hard, is there's going to be ups and there's going to be downs. There's disappointments. And those that are successful and those that are people that have achieved in their lives in different areas of life are those that pick themselves up and don't get despondent and don't get broken by the disappointments and the traumas and the hardships, but keep going on. And that's true in sport. I'm a big soccer fan. I love soccer. And the successful teams, the successful clubs, the successful managers, they're the ones that keep going even when the stakes are down, even when they're disappointed, even if they're having a run of bad form, even when they've got a lot of injuries, they keep moving positively. They don't lose that drive and that inspiration, that hope, that aspiration. Likewise, I think it's a very true teaching for a marriage as well. When it comes to a marriage too, it's very important that we're realistic in a marriage, and we don't regard when things go, the going gets tough, and the going's going to get tough. If you don't think the going's going to get tough, so then you're not in reality. You know, again, the way we base our ideas on a relationship comes from Hollywood, and comes from the movies, and you know, and Instagram, where everything looks perfect and everything is in place and there's not a hair out of place. That's not reality. Reality is you'll have good times. And if we have romance, Hashem gives us romance, which is wonderful, which is a great and important aspect of one's relationship. Hashem gives that at the beginning, but reality kicks in. It wears out. It doesn't remain for very long. And when reality kicks in and there's hard aspects of life and hard aspects in the relationship and our partner is not perfect, just like we are not perfect, and we have to work through those things. You know, unfortunately today we have a very high divorce rate, and very often young people don't want to work through the challenges and the difficulties in the relationship, and they are looking to, you know, they're looking for an out when the going gets tough, which is just the wrong attitude. It's the wrong understanding of life in a relationship and the wrong approach to dealing with growth in life. And so a marriage, when it comes to chinuch and bringing up children, also there are going to be hard times. There's wonderful times, and there's nothing better than having children and enjoying life with your children. The people that don't do that are missing out on one of the most beautiful things that life has to offer. And they'll, in the latter years of their life, be very disappointed at those decisions. But there are hard times too. There's struggles, and each neshama is unique and different, and each one has to find their own path, and together with their parents, and through the difficulties of the teenage years, the family together needs to negotiate their way through those troubled times and those challenging stormy waters. But that is life, and that's something we learn from Rabbi Akiva, and something we should be inspired by. And I think the same applies for Klal Yisrael, for the Jewish people. As I mentioned earlier, this is a time of great peril for us, and we should be working on loving our fellow, and that spiritual merit should be positive and should protect us. But also, we should not become despondent, and we should not think, oh my gosh, to be a Jew is just to be the victim of prejudice and anti-Semitism, and it never goes away, and who would have imagined in 2024 we would be here? Okay, that's the way it is, and there are different reasons why that's the way it is. But keep going forward, be a proud Jew, and do the work that we are supposed to as Jews. Hashem shows us that we are not the same as every other nation, that we are unique and different. If you don't see that, then, you know, you're pretty blind. Hashem shows us very clearly that our function is a elevated function, and we are supposed to bring godliness and morality and life and spirituality to the world and be positive and embrace the great privilege of what it means to be a Jew and the great opportunity we have to connect to eternity and to live a life of holiness and of spirituality and of meaning and of purpose and of eternity. That's what it means to be a Jew. It means to be a Jew is not that you have bagels and salmon. That's not what it means to be a Jew, and chicken soup. That's missing the purpose of being a Jew. The real focus of a Jew is to be a spiritual being and to live according to the rules of God and to be an inspired moral person who teaches the world the light of Hashem. And so even though we have hardships and difficulties and we're going through a difficult period right now, we remain strong, we remain positive, we have a good attitude, and we do our job as Jews, and we band together and we united as one happy Jewish family. Please stay with us. We'll be back in a moment.
This is Focus on Our Sages with Rabbi Danny Sackstein on 101.9 Chai FM.
So we've been discussing this time of year, the time of Sfira, when we count the Omer, and we've been discussing Lag BaOmer, which is on Saturday night and Sunday. And the two primary lessons to take from Lag BaOmer, firstly, is the great lesson that we learn from the students of Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Akiva himself, to learn to live with our respect and dignity, to honor those around us and to see the good in those around us, to love our fellows. And the second lesson from Rabbi Akiva is to have the strength to pick ourselves up despite setbacks and despite the disappointments that we all definitely will face in our lives. Life is about ups and downs and about victories and disappointments. But those that are successful, whether it's in the spiritual realm and developing ourselves spiritually and overcoming our weakness, our dark side, our lower part of our being, or whether it's in the material world, successful people are those that have resilience and keep going, that go on and carry on with a positive attitude. So, Mietz Hashem, we should be successful in doing that. And we, as Jews, should love our fellows. And as Jews, should be positive and resilient. And even though the Jewish people are going through a challenging time right now, where we see so much anti-Semitism and anti-Israel bias around the world, we are positive, we are resilient, we are proud Jews, we embrace God and Torah and mitzvahs, because that is the identity of a Jew. We go on in a positive way and please God fulfill our purpose successfully. And as a result, we'll see the end of darkness and suffering, and we'll see the coming of Mashiach, or the building of the third Beis HaMikdash, b'mehera b'yameinu, amen. Thank you so much for listening. Have a wonderful day.